Okay, good evening. I'd like to call the Wednesday, April 10th, 2019 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order. And may we have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Director Rapoport.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here.
President Austin.
Here. Would you all please join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. Brings us to agenda review. Is there anything on the agenda anybody wants to change?
There's nothing.
Okay, then that will bring us to closed session. Mr. Minery, do you have...
President Austin, would you like to take public comment on closed session?
Yes. Is there anyone here who would like to do public comment on our closed session? Seeing none.
Okay. Pursuant to Government Code 54957, the district will adjourn to closed session to discuss public employment of the general manager.
Okay. Okay, I'll call the Wednesday, April 10th, 2019 meeting back to order. And do we have a report out of closed session, legal counsel?
The report out of closed session is that the general manager, Pavel Ogun, has announced his retirement on December 21st, 2019.
Thank you.
We're not happy.
We're not happy, but... Congratulations, Pablo, but we aren't happy. Okay, that brings us to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Is there any public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, that moves us to special presentations and reports. We'll start with operations. Tony Marchino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Marchino. All right, for the past few weeks, we've had our daily rounds and samples, 9 work orders, 8 USAs, 7 customer service calls. We had 1 after-hours call-out that was due to a yard alarm. It was a false alarm. We performed some vacuum cleaning at the sanitation district, for the sanitation district. Trash pickup, the 311 app. This is covering March 1st to March 21st because it went inactive, and it'll be back active this Friday. We had 38 work orders off of that. We cleaned and videoed all the sewer lateral hotspots that potentially have issues that we've kept track throughout the years, maintaining those monthly. We're really focusing on hydrant maintenance right now because we got done with the valve turning. Once we get the hydrants done, we'll be working on the directional flushing. So we're heavily working on hydrant maintenance right now. We trimmed some trees over at the old fire station that were hitting the roof from our property to the building. We had to do some maintenance on the chlorine injection system. It wasn't operating properly. And as you notice, 19th through 21st Street on Paso, they're installing a sidewalk on the north side for the kids to walk to school. That project started this week, and hopefully should be done in a few weeks. And Day of the Child went very well for us. To let you know, we had zero SSOs for the month of March. Lopez is currently at 59.2%, which is 29,223 acre feet. And the new water year is starting this year. So as of last month, we received 10.9 acre feet from state. Lopez, this is kind of skewed because this goes back to January of 19. For Lopez delivery, it was 378. No, actually, Lopez, I'm sorry about that. It was for the entire year, April to the end of March, is 378. And we've pumped, which is January of 19, all the way, or January of 18 to now, 319 acre feet. And I'll get that fixed because the pumping goes off of the year, or, you know, you, just depends on the math and how it's calculated, because you got a water year from Lopez and a water year from state. Any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Dalton?
No.
Great report.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and we don't have Chief Lieberman. Mr. Ogren, do you have anything for your general
manager? I do, President Austin, members of the board. A few items. This Friday is my next follow-up meeting on Five Cities Fire Authority with Chief Lieberman and the city managers, and Ms. Cassiola will be joining us. Today she's not here. She is finished up a training session for special districts, general management, not the general manager, but management purposes, and so she'll be back at work tomorrow. Today, there was a Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee meeting, and we focused in on the Zone 3 contracts and potential contract amendments. And legal counsel, Mr. Minery, and I had worked on some. And generally speaking, they were well received and had a lot of good discussion. So it went well. It's still going to be some time before I'll get back to the board with some of the recommendations. Our next step is that I'm going to meet with Dan Heimel and WSC, since he represents a lot of the other agencies, and then Jill at Public Works, and the three of us are going to start working on, based on the input we got, some other draft recommendations. And then State Water, which relates, because one of the proposed contract amendments would provide Oceano and Pismo Beach with the ability to store state water at Lopez through an in-lieu exchange program. That was probably the concept that I thought might be the one that was received the coldest response, but it received a pretty warm response, actually, under the theory that the more we keep the water in lake, the more it benefits everybody. But again, it was real broad-based discussion, so we have more work to do. But the point here is that with the rainy season that we had this year, all the water that was in San Luis, the reservoir, has been lost due to a spill, the artificial spill. This year, the allocation is 70%. So if we had storage rights in Lopez, then we could have brought some water in locally and being able to preserve it in Lopez, because San Luis Reservoir in the state system is always subject to spills much greater than our local reservoirs. And along that note as well, important, because I'd been following the agendas of the Central Coast Water Authority, and they had a proposed deal with Mojave Water Agency, which would have been $328 an acre foot. Now that didn't go through because there was a rainy season, and, you know, whatever. I don't know all the details behind it, but Jill announced today at TAC that that deal ended up not going through. But you take an example where if we had water in Lopez Reservoir, 1,000 acre feet of storage, and we sell it for $323 down to Santa Barbara County interests, which we could not do independently. We'd have to work through the county to have that right. But that would be $323,000 and could go a long ways to helping us with deferred infrastructure. So there's a lot of different reasons why getting storage rights at Lopez could benefit Oceano and the region. And so that, and with what happened in loss of storage in San Luis Reservoir, is again a good example of why it would be good to have storage rights at Lopez. And so at least that was moving in a positive direction. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair,
I've got a couple.
Go ahead. Does Santa Barbara County, do they have any ability to store state water in Lake Kachuma?
State water does go into Lake Kachuma.
Yeah.
They have to dechlorinate it so that they don't put chlorinated water into Lake Kachuma.
Yeah.
And then it's used as a Kachuma facilities are used then as the conduit to South Santa Barbara County, to like Goleta and Carpinteria or who's ever getting water down there. I don't know if they have storage rights though.
Okay. Yeah. And my second question, did Zone 3 Tech ever get that environmental study, and I can't think of the name of it, that they were working on for so long. Did that ever get done completely?
Well, there's been a lot of environmental studies, so maybe a hint as to the... Are you thinking about the habitat conservation plan?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's only been going on since 1997. and I anticipate it's going to take much longer now, in part because of the appeals court decision that said the counties and the state water board are subject to considering public trust doctrine issues on well permits, and because we have a lot of wells that are operated by ag along the Rio Grande Creek, I'm anticipating that single change could have quite an effect on the HCP. With respect to the county's obligations, right? Not with respect to our water deliveries. But
yeah. No, but I just remember because eventually, isn't that going to have an impact on downstream water Rio Grande Creek ends up?
Yeah. And one of the things to remember with respect to the contracts is that no matter what we agree between Oceano, the county, and the other participating agencies, it's all still subject to whatever the environmental requirements might come out of an HCP. So the idea to have storage rights means that we want to do multi-year water resource planning instead of single year, and the changes in the contract will lead to more water behind the reservoir as opposed to less water behind the reservoir. But even if we approve contract changes, we're still subject to whatever the HCP might demand in terms of primarily it's the protection of the steelhead.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions for Ms. Talbot? Okay. Well, thank you very much. That'll take us down to, we don't have a sheriff, our board of directors and outside committee reports. I'll start. Director DePaulo, do you have anything to report?
Yes, I attended a couple of water meetings last week. I'll just pull up my notes here. The first was the RWMG meeting, and the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan update is due on June 30th, and there will be a draft presentation in May. 13 projects were submitted for Prop 1 grants, and there were presentations by all of those projects, including Pavo was there to present on taking care of our water leaks that are well known. There were a couple of other projects in Oceano. One was the county, and that was presented by Genaro Diaz for the 13th Street drainage project, where we've got that chronic flooding. That is actually scheduled to start construction between this June and then go until March of next year. And they're asking for a $1 million grant to partially offset a USDA loan. And then Jeremy Gent from South Slo County Sanitation District was there for a project, the redundancy project, asking for funding for that. And let's see, there's a committee meeting on April 22nd. I believe Director Gibson is on that committee to do some evaluation of the projects that were submitted. And then the full RWMG is going to vote on them at the meeting on May 1st. And then I attended the Iraq meeting. The topics there were groundwater basin, which includes Oceano, a modeling study presentation that's going to be done sometime around September. That's in work. There was a budget review of the flood control district. And on the stormwater resource plan, concurrence is expected in May, and then Prop 1 Round 2 funding is in fall of this year. That's
okay.
All I have.
Great. Thank you. Vice President White, do you have any?
I don't have any meetings, but I attended Day of the Child, which was really, really nice, and I want to commend our staff. They did a super job. I think our backhoe looked just about as new as the day they displayed the backhoe, and there was a lot of young children and some adult males who climbed on that backhoe, and we had little yellow hard hats for the boys and little red pink hard hats for the girls, and we gave away Sammy Steelhead water, clean water campaign color books and crayons and stickers and stuff, and we just had a lot of people, and we were smart enough to put this all in a bag with OCSD sticker on the bag, and people carried the bag into the other parts of the area, and they used it to carry lots of other stuff in too. So I think it was very successful, and it was Tony and Celia and Nicole, who I believe was in charge of it for our staff, and is his name Doug? And he's the newest employee? Yeah. And it was really great. Yeah. So anyway, thank all of you staff, and I guess we don't put letters of commendation in their files or anything, but we could. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Director Gibson?
Yes. I attended the Regional Water Management Group, and in their Oceana, we requested, have two projects. We requested a total of $274,500, and maybe the general manager can go over how those projects would benefit the community.
Certainly. So what we've identified is some of our higher priority projects that had actually been previously 2010 under the water management plan and being reconfirmed through the Cannon work. Both of the ones that we propose are in Highway 1, sort of near the curve. The benefits would be replacing some of the small 2-inch galvanized lines that have inadequate flows and pressures. I mentioned these because they date back to the 1950s. Apparently, San Luis Obispo has some infrastructure that dates back to the 1920s, so they had us a little bit beat there. But in addition to the leaky pipes, they also help, the replacement projects will help with the fire flows, and they'll help with water quality where lines dead end by looping them and completing the circle, if you will. Whenever we have a dead end on a water line and we have stagnant water, then it creates water quality concerns. So there's three different benefits of the projects. One is fixing leaky pipes. The second is improving fire flows and pressures. And the third is improving water quality for drinking water purposes.
So everyone in Oceano, cross your fingers that we are victorious.
Thank you. I think you have.
I don't have a report, but I also attended the Day of the Child, although I wasn't at our table. I was at OBCA's slime table. Very popular table. Wish I would have had a little bit more help. My niece left like halfway. And then I relied on some adults, which wasn't very smart. I also attended Railroad Days, and the hot dogs were delicious. I went in there with my mom and got a hot dog on the way out. The train displays were nice, but the hot dogs were even better. And outside, I had some time and sat in the garden eating hot dogs there, and I had some time to walk around, and I didn't know that we had a dunite cabin back there. I was like, what is that? So I took a picture of it, and I'm like, wow, so impressed and so happy and proud to be part of Oceano.
That's it. Okay, thank you. Okay, I attended the San Francisco County Sanitation District meeting, and we didn't really have anything new other than Mr. Gent gave a nice presentation on the redundancy program, a review of it, which is on the website if anyone is interested. It's a nice little slideshow presentation that tells all the stages and the phases that goes through to completion. And everything else was great. The plant's operating very well. Numbers are great, and there's been no violations or anything, so things are running very smoothly at the plant. And that's it. I attended Day of the Child, too, and I want to commend our staff. And I saw your table. I think everybody was here, so it was great. And the Model Railroad Days was very fun, too. So I had a busy weekend in town. It was nice. So is there any public comment on any of the special presentations or reports? Seeing none. Consent agenda, review and approval of cash disbursements, approval of a recommendation to set May 15th as the application deadline for fireworks permits. Is there anybody want to...
I would like to pull item 8B.
Okay. So then we'll go ahead on the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on item A? Review and approval of cash disbursements. None. Is there any Mark, have anything to say on?
Oh, I was just going to make a motion.
Okay.
Oh, I just have one question. I had asked at the last meeting if it was possible to include the purpose in the.
Yeah, and so we followed up with Tyler, and we don't really have report options. One of the things that we do though is. Have the whole package of invoices available. So even once the agenda's been published or even before the meeting, the easiest thing would just be to grab the package and look at the particular invoices.
Okay, thanks for checking
into
that.
But we checked into it.
Okay, does anyone have a motion?
Make a motion. We approve the cash disbursements.
Have a second?
Second.
Okay, can we get a roll call, please, Celia?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Rapoglu?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, that takes us to 8B.
Sorry, President Austin. In responding to Director Rapoglu's question, though, there is another report that we can make generally available. It's a lot more voluminous. It's got more details associated with it, so I hesitate actually putting it into the agenda package. But if you have, that's the type of it's a public information document, and we can send that if you're interested too, just to individual board members. That would provide some additional information. It has account codes in it, so you'd have to kind of have the table of what the different account codes really mean. But that's another option to gain more insight as to the purpose. And there's sort of two things that are going on. One is the specific payments, and that's what the AP register is about. And then when we're monitoring expenses, part of that is separately done through the quarterly budget review. So we try to keep the support for the accounts payable to, you know, who are we paying, how much are we paying. But there is some supplemental information that we can just make generally available. Of course, reviewing the invoices, and some directors in the past have done that. They just want to come in and look at the invoices. So there are some options that we found, but nothing that's really good to replace what we have in the agenda package itself.
Okay, I don't want to put you to a lot of extra trouble, but if it's something, I could just take a look at those two different things that you mentioned just to see what it's about.
Yeah, and we can do that offline and, you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. So now this subject is Agenda Item 8B, Approval of a Recommendation to Set May 15, 2019 as the application deadline for firework permits. Did you have a staff report you wanted to give? Or?
I wasn't really. The staff report that's written is consistent with the prior years. Some of the feedback that I've gotten is, like, we reference Resolution 1991-2 within it. There's also Ordinance 92-2 that comes into play, and in 91, and then there's Resolution 97. So there are a couple other resolutions or ordinances that come into play, and we have provided copies of those to all the board members.
It's the same that are in our packet, though, right? That are in.
The additional ones have been handed out today. And then my last comment was on booth sales ends. It says no later than July 5th, 2019. Your board, the adopted ordinances and resolutions actually say July 6th, but July 5th is set by the Five Cities Fire Authority because one of the requirements is to get a permit from Five Cities Fire. So the July 5th is driven based on their requirements and not based on our ordinance. But again, it's consistent with prior years, and we will respond to questions in whatever direction is provided by the board.
Okay. Did you want
to? Yeah. So I actually wanted to propose that we table this and have a fuller discussion at the next meeting on the general topic of whether this 1991 law still makes sense for our community in its current form. If we want to restrict fireworks in some greater manner, it's almost a 30-year-old ordinance, and since the time that it was enacted, the population of Oceano is up about 20%. We've got an increased fire risk, especially this year, because there's going to be a lot of growth that's going to be dry and dead around our community. We've got poor air quality from the ODSVRA, and I think everybody's well aware of the litter issues that we have and the frightened pets that run off every year. So I think it would be a good idea to revisit this as a board and see if we want to continue with the 1991 scheme. I also have a question of what happens if we do have to divest of our Fire and Emergency Services Authority, what happens to this sort of ordinance, which we can only enact because we have that authority? So I think there's some things to discuss around this issue, and I would move that we table this item for discussion at the next meeting, a fuller discussion.
Okay. We have a timeline here, the time frame, the application process, and the closing. How does this affect any of the applicants? Is there a timeline that we have to have this?
So in terms of the timing itself, you could still open up the application process and consider changes to it. That's not a sort of incompatible conflict.
But wouldn't that be presupposing that we would still be issuing permits if we were accepting applications?
No, because you could terminate the application process itself. You're not required in accepting applications. You're not required to approve any of them. So I guess the question, there's really two questions here. One is, does the board as a whole want to consider changes or maybe even terminating it altogether. And that would have to be really done at a subsequent meeting because we've only agendized it as to open up the application period. But you could open up the application period and then subsequently at a next meeting decide that you're either going to modify the conditions, modify the rules, or terminate them altogether.
Do you think that there's insufficient time if we would just table this and then open the application period later? Because seems like there's a lot of time in there. I don't know exactly what's involved behind the scenes, but...
Right. They have to be permitted at least... Right. So we do have some timing restrictions in there. And they do have additional hoops that they have to jump through in terms of getting a permit from the Five Cities Fire Authority as well. So I do have concerns about timing, but again, it's sort of the board as a whole. Do you want to reconsider the process?
right, then you're mentioning timing for us, but at the same time, wouldn't the groups, what if they committed money and, you know, don't they have a timeline too that, you know?
I'm sure they've ordered fireworks already.
Yeah.
Well, I know the problems that exist from the fireworks are the illegal fireworks is what causes all the issues. Safe and Sane are what they are, Safe and Sane. So I don't know if any restrictions we'd make or changes we'd make would really, you know, we're just going to cut these people out of the nonprofits fundraising. I think last year we put the cleanup and we added a lot of other things.
Well, I know we can't discuss it fully now, but I just would like the opportunity to discuss it more fully as a board.
I have to agree that the illegal fireworks are the problem. They're the noise. They're the, you know, they're uncontrolled. But I really don't see how four booths of Safe and Sane fireworks is that consequential to. In other words, I'll ask Director Rapolco, what would be the benefit to the community to abolishing this?
Can we discuss this now? I don't know how much we can discuss.
I think you can discuss it enough as to whether or not you want to table this item or not, but not discuss whether or not you're going to abolish the program, change the conditions. It's really, I think, whether the question ultimately is whether or not you're going to set the date to receive applications. So I think what Mr. Ogren is suggesting is that you could potentially set the date to receive applications. The ordinance does allow parties to submit applications, and then perhaps then we could set an agenda item to discuss the program maybe at the next meeting, if you prefer. It wouldn't impact your ability to reject all the applications should you change course. And there's time, I think, to do all that.
Yeah, although we don't want people, like you mentioned, we don't want people relying on a permit and ordering things, and then we would cancel it or restrict it. So that's a valid concern, I think.
And so in some respects, also the question that Director Rapolco has put on the table is, does a majority of the board want to consider changing the program for this year or not?
No.
Well, but if... Right, and so if they choose not to put it on the agenda, then that means that they're fine with the program as it is.
So I'll just say that I'm not interested in putting it on the agenda. I think this is way off of our responsibilities providing services, and I don't think that four booths of Safe and Sane, I think it's a positive for our community. A lot of the people enjoy it and are... the four applicants, you know, that they're our community. They need to make that money.
I'm not interested in being on the agenda or making any changes.
Okay, do you have anything?
I just think, like you just said, Director Gibson, that the problem is the illegal fireworks all year long. That's what bothers me the most. I know that there's a hazard for fire, but even more than that, it bothers me because I have three little dogs that just go crazy.
Yeah.
Every time there's fireworks. I know Shannon has a long history of loving to celebrate the 4th of July. And before, we used to have gunshots going off.
Yeah.
That when the law changed, they did a real good job of enforcing. And I don't know why there's not enforcement on the illegal fireworks all year long. Because it doesn't bother me so much on the 4th of July, but it does bother me all year long. Every 2 or 3 months on somebody's birthday or wild weekend get-together or whatever, there are fireworks going off, illegal, huge ones that sometimes sound like it's a bomb. So
just
hopefully law enforcement sees and hears this.
So, President Austin, I just want to remind you all that you're not deciding whether or not
right.
there's value to the program or whether it's good for the community, but just whether or not to table
okay,
this item to put the program as a whole on the next agenda.
So then I could ask for a motion. Did you make a motion? Did you already?
It appears right now that there's not a majority of the board that wants to put that on the agenda. So then I think the next question is the item that's currently before your board, which is just to set the date.
Okay, so then we'll get a motion.
Make a motion.
President Austin, you previously took public comment on item 8A, so
right.
we want to take
public comment on item 8B. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, then I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion we set a date of May 15th, 2019 as the application deadline for fireworks permits.
I'll second it. Get a roll call, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Opal?
No.
Okay. That takes us now on to...
Madam President,
yes.
Probably want to announce the results of the vote.
Okay, well, the motion passed with a 4-1. 4 in favor, 1 opposed.
And then if I might, when we're under future agenda items, I heard a variety of comments right now, and I'll take up those comments under future agenda items.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then... That will move us to our next item, which is business items. And item 9, do we do public comment on all of the business items or at one at a time?
Our verbal staff reports are not going to augment the written staff reports. They're going to be consistent, so it would be appropriate to take public comment on all of the business items. At this time.
Okay, so if there's anyone here that would like to comment on either item 9A, B, C, D, or E, please come forward. Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to item 9A, which is consideration of a recommendation to approve a purchase order for AGP Video Services to include live streaming for district board meetings.
And Madam President, members of the board, this was prepared based on the direction that we staff believe that we have obtained from a prior meeting.
Okay, so is there anyone, do we have anyone want to go first on the consideration of this recommendation?
My question is how this fits into the budget, although most of it will go into next year's budget, won't it?
Yes. In terms of the budgetary impact, we only have a few meetings left. Certainly, it's not going to cause us to go over budget. At the last meeting when we had talked about it, the recommendation was to incorporate it into next year's budget, and the direction from the board was let's get it started sooner, and so we brought it back at this time.
Okay. Is there anyone who wants to discuss this? Have anything to say?
Just that I'm in favor of it. I think it's important for the public to see what transpires at meetings.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments? Let me get a motion on this item then.
I make a motion to approve the purchase order for AGP Video Inc. services to include live streaming for district board meetings.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villan?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Repoglu?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
Should okay. We let you make the motion? You should have made the motion for you. The lead on that.
All right, that Present. Takes us to.
Results of the vote.
Oh, the results of the vote were 5-0 in favor of approving the purchase order for live streaming for district board meetings. Okay, our next item, 9B, discussion of an update on recreational services at the Oceano Community Center and provide board direction as deemed appropriate.
So, President Austin, members of the board, on recreational services, we've followed up with Lucia Marr. Nicole's done a lot of the background work on it. It's included in here. And certainly, the individuals at Lucia Marr who are programming the time of use of the community center's facilities sort of expressed the general desire for whomever might want to set up a recreational program to work directly with Lucia Marr. They've asked this question, well, what are we trying to accomplish and those kind of things? And, you know, the general answer has been, well, the district has the right to use the facilities, and we want to look at the options on the right. Some discussion or some thought I've given to, would we want to pursue a site agreement with Lucia Marr to more definitively identify when we might be using it? And again, the feedback has been more of like, well, if there's somebody who's interested and they just need to contact us. Included in your agenda package is the fees that Lucia Marr charges. And essentially, it's about $30 per hour. And one of the early concerns was the cost associated with actually participating and whether those costs could come down. And we do have the ability to use the facilities free within reason. The school district is taking the position that after hours would cost us extra money, or weekend use would cost us after extra money. Whether we could debate that with them based on our contract agreement would be another question. But right now, we would have costs incurred with, going out there and soliciting some programs versus so we would certainly get a break on the $30 per hour, but we would have our own costs. I'm not sure how much money we could be saving participants because $30 an hour, it's not that expensive of a facility for those who want to lead recreational programs. We could also post something that if individuals want to use our hours, they could contact us. My concern there would be then to what extent do we get in the middle of the liability situation and the requirements for insurance and those kind of things. So it's a general update on some of our communications with Lucia Marr, and be glad to answer any questions.
Well, it's nice to have all this information. I don't know what we would have to be involved if anyone wanted to use it. I'm not quite following. Do you mean someone, if they wanted to use the facility, they would come to us and we would arrange for it because we have free time, we would give them our free time?
That's the concept, yeah.
So that would involve our staff, and, I mean, it would cost us to
To administer, yeah.
To administer it. And you mentioned liability?
Well, so, sure, we would require insurance, but we would still have some exposure there, and it's hard to assess how great that exposure would be, but it would exist.
I would definitely push back on all these fees that they're saying that they'll charge, because the agreement says no fees or charges. And then I guess the way I could envision this working is that we have this slate of 120 hours a year available. So if there are organizations like Five Cities Hope, I think mentioned they'd be interested, some other local groups, in doing a recreation program there, maybe we could just refer them to LucMR and tell LucMR they're using our time.
Is that something that
And
do?
I don't think that would involve a lot of work on our staff's part to do that.
Yeah, you know, I like that approach of sort of informally supporting some groups. And I agree that we could, well, first off, if it's within the normal hours, the potential to save is $30. I mean, we would save the 30 for sure. If a group wanted to do it outside of what LucMR's $30 timetable is, then we could push back as well, because they do have some, they indicate scheduling is available on the weekends as well. And we could take the position that they put that out there, and so it's within reason we should be able to schedule in that period of time. So there, instead of saving $30, we might be able to save $70 a meeting. And I think that approaching it on an informal basis, if somebody contacts us, especially if then we refer them to LucMR and they have problems with getting scheduling through LucMR, or if they have, you know, concerns about particular costs. And then we could work with LucMR to try to help make it happen and everything. But to do something formally, I think, is going to be more challenging. But again, to be supportive on an informal basis, I think that would probably be the best approach right now.
At least to get it going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we're at a point where we have a number of groups and a number of programs and classes and things going on, and we're using up most of that time, maybe we could put together something more formal, like a, you know, a schedule of recreation opportunities or something like
and,
that.
And I like that idea, too, because if we approach it informally, then we might find where the challenges exist, and then be able to specifically address those challenges in order to help promote, you know, better services now.
So I have a question. So if someone uses 30 of our hours, what about the additionally insured? How does that work? They're using our hours, but we're not.
Well, I think
Could you say that again? I didn't hear your whole question.
Well, with general liability, in other words, you know, if you had an event, you would have to add additionally insured.
So informally, what I would do initially is just to try to encourage LucMR to work with these individuals. And if they wanted to say that they're using some of our hours, then fine. But the agreement would be between the entity that's sponsored, you know, and LucMR. And we're we're just...
So it's our hours, but we're just giving away our hours.
You think telling LucMR that it's a reduction in our hours, and we're not getting into the middle of the agreements or anything
but
else.
But would
like
they
that.
Make us... That's, we guess we'll just have to try it, find out, see what happens.
Yeah, I think so. Some trial and...
Just to bring it back to the goal of this is we want more recreational opportunities to be available for the people of Oceano who maybe can't afford to do LucMR's, you know, official programming that they have right now. So I think we could do that with this more.
Yeah, or if they find resistance on getting time slots and those kind of things. So.
Well, I'm willing to give it a shot and see what happens.
All right, so in that case, you know, under an informal, we can proceed. No specific action is really required by your board. And what I would intend to do then is we'll, you know, in our website we have services, and so we'll add recreation and we'll put some information in there. and some contact information.
And I would hope that maybe we could support on the website as well, like if someone schedules some recreation classes using our hours, we could add it to the calendar. Would that be possible?
Yeah, I get a little bit concerned. The more we get into it, the more that we might expose ourselves. But certainly getting the link so that it's, so we have a link to Lucia Mar and what the activities are, I think we can certainly do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. We just don't want it to appear that we are sponsoring anything, right?
Mm-hmm. So. Just to make that community aware would be a good idea.
Okay, everybody okay with that then?
Yeah.
So we can move on to item 9C, consideration of the March 2019 Take Action Brief prepared by the California Special Districts Association, Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 1, and Board Direction on Sending Letters of Support or Opposition on Proposed Legislation. So,
President Austin, members of the Board, it's that time of year that CSDA sends out this sort of legislative bulletin because most of the bills have been drafted. CSDA then evaluates them for whether they think special districts should support or oppose. In reading through it, you know, there's a number that are also watch items. So in the report, one of them, SB 13, went from watch to oppose. And it's opposed because the state is seeking to require certain reductions in fees for new development, specifically on accessory dwelling units. CSDA is opposing that because they recognize that our overall finance laws are complicated because of Prop 218. But moreover, the decisions right now currently rest with your governing board and the governing boards of other local jurisdictions. And so SB 13 would take away some of that local control. They have, since the agenda was published, also sent a draft letter of opposition. And then in AB Assembly Bill 1486, CSDA also opposes, there's good reason why it's being written, which is to try to promote housing, but it essentially, as drafted, says that before the district could lease out any property, that we would have to make it available for others to use first. And so it would be a restriction on the district's ability to utilize its properties to the degree that your board deems appropriate. Again, taking away your local control on leases and putting in state mandates. So CSDA, again, is recommending opposition on that. And then CSDA is recommending support on proposed constitutional amendment number 1, which would have to go to the voters, and that is to reduce the percentage of required positive vote from 2/3 majority on a special tax to 55%. 55% is what the constitutional percentage is for school districts right now, and so they're identifying that as a support for that in order to increase the feasibility of items being passed that are important for special districts. It's unclear yet as to what the final language of that bill would be, and it's unclear as to whether it would have an effect on the March 2020 election for Five Cities Fire Authority. But the effect would be to make it, special taxes would have a lower threshold than they currently have for passage right now. In the agenda package was the draft letter for the proposed constitutional amendment, and again, subsequently, I obtained draft letters for SB 13, AB 1486. I think that CSDA's position of opposition and support on those three measures is prudent, is appropriate, and I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of special districts that write in letters of support or opposition consistent with the CSDA's recommendations, but it's really your board's discretion.
So just, are you asking us to weigh in just on those three that you mentioned or on this whole?
So there's others as well, and you certainly can weigh on in on the others. So as CSD is monitoring them, what they do is they give us draft support letters or opposition letters on those particular items that they really feel like special districts need to weigh in on. So, for example, they have an opposition to a measure that has to do with lactation. They also have opposition to a measure that they would just like to see special governmental agencies exempt from that. But even though they have positions of opposition, they're not lobbying hard against those measures, and they haven't provided letters of support or oppositions on those measures. So I tend to focus in on the ones where they've actually sent us letters of opposition or support, because then again, those are the items that are higher priority for CSDAs and higher priority for CSDA, and therefore higher priority for your board's consideration. But all of them are open for your board's discretion.
So again, the three that you mentioned were a constitutional amendment one
on special tax threshold, SB 13, which seeks to require reductions in fees for accessory dwelling units versus currently your board has that discretion, and AB 1486, which would require your board to make property available to others prior to being able to lease it out.
Did you have something?
No, I'm just in support of sending the letters, but I was waiting.
Yeah, I would support sending the letters.
Do we need a motion?
Does anybody else have any discussion first? Does anybody else have anything to comment on? I'm in support of the letters. I like to keep our local control here rather than the state.
So SB 13, they changed to oppose, you said?
Correct. It was a watch, and they just changed it to oppose. AB 1486 is opposed, and proposed constitutional amendment. I think it's ACA because it's coming out of the Assembly. Assembly, constitutional amendment number one. And so they are recommending support for ACA 1, which again would require approval by voters in California, not just the legislature.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the board?
Do you want us to make a motion?
So I could recommend a motion. I could. If I recommend a motion, then somebody could say, I so move. That the president is authorized to provide letters of opposition on SB 13 and AB 1486 and a letter of support on ACA number one.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Could I have just a second to review this?
Sure.
Sure.
A minute. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Could you have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Polton?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay, it passes 5-0. Oh, sorry. Okay, that takes us to item 9D. I covered up my agenda. 9D, and this is a discussion on the timeline for amending the Five Cities Fire Authority
joint powers agreement and steps associated with calling for a special tax election in March 2020, direction to staff as deemed appropriate.
President Austin, members of the board, so our attached timeline as my initial shot, the one item that's not included in there is the development of public information, because I think that's going to be more or less ongoing. We can certainly take that up.
Where would that fit in?
Yeah, we're going to... Really, we need to talk about public information at all of the meetings, and what has your board heard, and what do you think is important information to get out to the public? Next meeting on April 24th is specifically slated. David Church, the executive director of LAFCO, has agreed to come to your next meeting to talk about requirements associated with divestiture of services in the event that that is an issue that your board faces. And then legal counsel, Mr. Minnery, is going to provide a review of the applicable legal issues relating to issues and sort of the do's and don'ts as we move down the process. So I took the various bullet points from the last meeting and laid them out in a timeline, and would be, you know, glad to respond to questions or further discussion by your board.
I had a question on the timeline. In June, hearing to adopt the preliminary budget, and then August, adopt the final budget. What assumptions would that be based on regarding fire and emergency services?
So the Five Cities Fire Authority, between now and then, are going to be developing their proposed budget for next year. And I would anticipate that you're going to be seeing that earlier than June 26th, but I don't know exactly the timing from Five Cities Fire Authority. All I really did here on June 26th and August 28th is identify that those are the two meeting dates that we generally slate for the more significant budget hearings, because June 30th is the deadline by statute for the adoption of the preliminary budget, and August 30th is the deadline by statute for the adoption of the final budget. So I wanted to keep any, you know, in-depth discussions about Five Cities Fire Authority off of those particular agendas, because they tend to be, again, more time-consuming for the actual budget hearings.
I'm just asking, what in developing the budget, what are we assuming is happening with our fire and emergency services? Are we assuming that we're staying in the Five Cities Fire Authority?
Oh, for 1920 budgets, for sure, because with the extension of the MOA for the negotiating period, the soonest date that Five Cities Fire Authority would terminate would be June 1st, 11 months into the fiscal year.
Okay.
And our basic discussions right now is that we have to address what happens if the special tax doesn't pass. And our overall general discussions is that we want to look at like a 15-month timetable in order to work. David Church is going to talk about the length of time that Cayucas took with the county. And in Cayucas' situation, it was a dissolution of the Cayucas Fire District because that was a single purpose. But that was about an 18-month process. He's going to walk us through that. And so in discussions with the general managers, I'm anticipating that we're going to see JPA amendments that say if the special tax doesn't pass, then it's going to be terminated 15 months post-hence. And that way it gives the district the ability to work with the county. It gives Arroyo Grande and Grover time period to figure out what they're going to do in moving forward. So coming up for this next year's budget, we're going to just focus on the 1920 budget. We're not anticipating much further implementation of the strategic plan. There might be some items, but the idea is how far can we really go with the implementation of the strategic plan if we don't know if the special tax is going to pass. So those variables are going to be up on the Five Cities Fire Authority's agenda pretty soon. And hopefully we're going to have that discussion, again, well in advance of of the budget hearings.
Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Yeah, I like that we're leading off with the divestiture information because I think that's important for the public to know that if the fire tax isn't passed, that these are the consequences, or this is, you know, what happens.
And that was our thought too, because we don't want, with the divestiture process and the discussion with David Church, is we don't want the community to believe that, oh, well, if the special tax doesn't pass, then the county's just going to pick it up and we're all going to be good. And so there's a lot of steps associated with that divestiture plan, and we really have to be able to provide good public information on how that might work in the event that a special tax doesn't pass.
Yeah, and I think everyone can relate to other small towns in our county that have already gone through that. The other important date to me is the final funding formula. So that's not till July 10th. And my concern is that as far as us, you know, discussions with the public or whatever kind of outreach we have, it's really hard to explain what's happening until we have, you know, until we have that number.
And I would like to see that move forward as well. So on May 8th is where it's the, you know, two meetings away, where we want to address the special tax formulas, the options, and there's basically, you know, a few different formulas that have been used by districts in the county, and review those. The reason why I didn't feel comfortable with moving the items on July 10th any sooner is because Five Cities Fire has to have their meetings about, is the implementation of the strategic plan going to stay as is? Does Five Cities Fire want to make different recommendations? Does the board of Five Cities Fire want to make different recommendations on the implementation of the strategic plan? And my confidence of knowing that I've got numbers to work with are really the adoption of the budget. So if they push that timing right up to June 30th, then we're not going to have anything to work with until July 10th. If Five Cities Fire Authority Board is able to address their recommendations on the strategic plan and next year's budget sooner, then I can move that July 10th date sooner. And so the goal would be to do it as soon as possible,
right.
But I'm somewhat having to wait on Five Cities Fire Authority and those discussions.
I think some of the discussion is going to come up this meeting next week.
In your Five Cities?
In Five Cities Fire Authority, I think.
Yeah. And I don't know, so I'm going to meet with Chief Lieberman and the city managers. Our follow-up is on Friday.
Friday?
Yeah, and I'm going to have, you know, better understanding of what Chief Lieberman thinks his timing's going to be. But right now, you know, July 10th is the soonest that I feel like I can commit to. And if their timing happens better, then we can move that date up. Because the sooner we're able to understand what the actual tax implications might be, the better off, you know, we are.
Okay, so the public outreach, when you said something earlier about that, that when do we really start getting the facts and the education? That would start on this next meeting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, my recommendation is
be here. We should try to get it advertised.
So I think, you know, as your board is discussing the various issues, we're still going to have a certain amount of hit or miss or lack of public participation. The idea that we're going to have it streaming means that people are going to be able to, you know, get online.
That's
they can
great,
look up
yeah.
the meetings. They can watch it at their leisure. So I think the initial, what we do as we're going through these meetings is we're conscientious about what type of thoughts are triggered in your board's mind or in staff about frequently asked questions.
That's when
what are the key points about public information that you're hearing? You know, what is it that you hear from David Church that you think it's important for the community to understand? And so as those discussions are happening, then I'll be taking notes in order to start developing frequently asked questions. You know, what are the key points that legal counsel makes in terms of the do's and don'ts of moving forward? Yeah, our responsibilities. And really, a lot of that is the next 6 months. Where do we find the public really focusing? It's in the 2 to 3 to 4 months before an actual election. So we've got to have our public information really well established, basically by the holiday season, right? Your deadline for calling for the election is October 22nd, I believe, maybe it was 24th. But here, it's the October 9th meeting that is the final meeting that you can call for the to call for the election and play. And as soon as you do that, we have to have public information available. And I think that even prior to that, there's probably going to be some additional, you know, outreach and everything. But again, over the next several months, as we're having the different presentations and we're working through the different details, it's going to be important to say.
This next meeting is very important.
Yeah, next meeting starts. Starts the important discussion items.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could I ask a question?
Of course.
You're talking like that if the tax doesn't pass, our only option is to disband our fire responsibilities. Aren't there some gray areas in between that?
So on...
I mean, you just kind of implied that when the tax...
Well, I think that that's... there's sort of two parts to that answer. One is that I think that everybody needs to seriously recognize that if it doesn't pass, that the only, you know, working through the county may very well be the primary option. And
the only option, but this point, I mean, there was discussion of other possibilities.
Right. So on June 12th, we do have that vote because we do need to identify what are the other possibilities. And so on June 12th, identification of other community options for fire and emergency services.
Yeah.
And that comes after, May 22nd is a review of the county report. And last week, we met with Scotty Gelbert, you know, President Austin, Vice President White, and I met with Cal Fire County Chief Scotty Gelbert. So again, on May 22nd, it's important to talk about what's in the county report. June 12th, update on the Five Cities Fire Strategic Plan, so we have those two, and then talk about whether or not we think other options exist, and especially important, does your board think that other options might exist? And so we'll have charts on. Right now we generate about $1 million per year in property tax revenues. It just creeped over the $1 million number last week. We have lighting services. They're discretionary. You could turn off lights, and that would get you $40,000 a year. It'd be a pretty unpopular decision.
Where are the lights that we...
They're all over. So the primary ones are the sort of the antique lights that we see on Highway 1. Yeah. And we can get a map together of where all of our lights are. In any unincorporated community, you can anticipate Caltrans because there's Highway 1 might have some lights. The county might have some lights. Those are driven based on road safety evaluations. And the CSDs are basically community amenities. Yeah, we can. I can't remember how many lights altogether we have, but we can compile where they're at and do a map. So the point being, what could we do within the budget that we have?
Yeah.
And ultimately.
So you have that broken down.
Our target is June 12th for having that type of discussion. We just know that those options are not going to look very good.
Right.
One of the things that we can anticipate that's going to come out, and this is what Chief Gelbert was really emphasized, is that with Five Cities Fire Authority, the service territory is the three communities. So as one call happens and the three stations get prepped for the next call, And they're all focused about where's the second call going to come from within the three communities. The county provides services on a county-wide basis. So if they're operating an Oceano station and there's a call, that second call is not a focus about Oceano. They're prepping about where's their second call going to come from. Is it going to come from the Mesa? Is it going to come from Pismo because they operate the Pismo facilities? So their focus of operations is county responsibilities versus the focus of operations for Five Cities Fire are the three communities. So those are some of the details that are going to come out as we're doing a comparison and contrast between the county report and the Five Cities Fire strategic approach. And then the question is, well, if we're not under either of those umbrellas, then what are we going to do on our own?
Yeah, that's what I have, the county-wide. We're spread out through all the county. Five Cities Fire Authority, we're right here, three communities, and that's it, rather than diluting all through the whole county. Okay, is there any other questions or discussions? So we'll look forward to our meeting on the 24th then, and going on that. We'll move on now to item...
Just one more thing, and then, of course, any public that wants to get involved, they can start at any point. Organizing or collecting emails or you know, because we'll need the community involvement.
We're going to need a lot of community involvement, yeah. You know, which I think we'll... Yeah. Like you said, it's about us. Us. Okay. Let's move on to item E, review of the district's budget status as of March 31st, 2019.
President Austin, members of the board, as previously mentioned, Ms. Cassiola was in training this week, so she's put together the report, and I reviewed it pretty closely with her. The summary is that we have a few funds that are show some potential revenue shortfalls. In each of those funds, we have more than enough savings and expenditures to cover the revenue shortfalls. With respect to facilities revenues, it's predominantly a little bit low looking on public facilities fees, which is an indication of a slowdown in some of the development that we're seeing. Not that Oceano ever has significant development, but and that could change quickly if just a couple of things are proposed. Now, there's some shortfall in utility reimbursements, but that's also going to be offset by the fact that the utility costs for our lessees aren't as high. The biggest revenue projected shortfall really is in the water fund, and that's because we had a pretty productive rainy season, and so consumption went down, and it's pretty clearly tracking there, because in the non-winter months, we were seeing revenues actually come in slightly above target. But again, we got a lot of rain this winter, so consumption went down, especially in the January through March billing period. And so that's where the revenue shortfalls are coming in. And again, in the water expenditures, we more than make up for that. Sewer revenues, basically right on track. You know, $169 difference is 0.5% of 1%. You know, there's a lot of decimal points before that one. But that's about as close as you can get to a budget target. And then in garbage revenues, we're seeing some shortfalls in our projections of franchise fees. And when we went back and looked at that, our estimates for the current year were probably just a little bit high. We were working on some prior trends, but when we compare it to actual last year's garbage revenues, what we're seeing this year is pretty reasonable. So we think the budget estimate might have been a little bit high on that. And that's because we've had some, in prior years, we had some one-time infusion of some fees. And the garbage company had to catch up on some fees that they hadn't been paying, and that probably affected our trend analysis. But what we are actually receiving seems appropriate. Carrie also then, you know, went in and provided in the staff report what I thought was a nice detailed discussion of the various expenditures and what she researched on where we're at. But again, overall, we're looking in good shape, and be glad to answer any questions.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good report, by the way. Extremely good.
Jordan, did you have
some? Yeah, I had a few. Yeah, I really liked that she gave that list of, you know, not high-cost things, but you know, everything adds up. The one sentence I really liked here was, although altogether, while some revenue shortfalls are anticipated, especially in the water fund due to reduced consumption during the rainy season, those revenue shortfalls are covered by expenditure savings. That's a good thing. So I had a couple things on this list. On number 7, the two PG&E power outages. Now, we're working on an emergency generator.
Oh, yeah, and we have our permits and everything, and it's been ordered. I got to get it out to bid. Our next item was the complicated bid, that 1,000-page mm-hmm. bid document for the relocation of the drainage facilities. So that was the real time cruncher. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to get out this bid and the other one in pretty near future. But
so if those outages, we'd save there. And then the other thing, the postage on mow your lawns and weeds and all of that, or the garbage fund, do we have to do a mailing to everybody? I mean, what percentage of the mailers are necessary? I guess that's my question.
Oh, we don't have to do the mailers. So I think it's pretty good outreach. Uh-huh. What we are seeing after we've done the fall cleanup event uh-huh. over the last couple years is there is an increasing community expectation. And last fall even, we started getting phone calls that said, hey, is the district going to cover our fall cleanup again? So I like on some of these programs to do the outreach.
Okay.
And I think that in the grand scheme of things, the cost isn't significant.
Yeah. Okay, that answers that. And then it's interesting just about the roll-off and the amount of times that you have to empty that. So, but that seems like that's a real positive thing for the community.
Yeah, and with the increased focus on the impacts of homelessness, I think that's going to continue to be, you know, a component of our garbage budget. I had an opportunity in the last week or so to meet with Supervisor Gibson because there's some similar challenges going on in the North Coast. And, of course, Sergeant Nichols spoke at the last meeting that the Sheriff's Department is evaluating the changes in law and what they are allowed to do and not allowed to do. So we'll see whether or not the general idea of how might we coordinate with the Sheriff's Department to be supportive, whether or not we hear anything back on that. But, you know, the impacts are clear, and I know that part of the community response would be, well, how come we have to, you know, pay for this problem? But part of it is that it's affecting the community, and so you know, the desire to try to keep it clean is important, and, as well as being able to continue to support the volunteer efforts that are going on. September 21st?
Coastal Cleanup Day?
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to be, you know, working and supporting Coastal Cleanup Day as well.
Okay. So any other questions on the budget?
Did you have
something? No.
Yeah, I just had a few questions on the Facilities Fund Revenue Worksheets, page 72.
What was the page number again?
72. Okay. So the old fire station, who's paying that money? I thought we were just like, there's old documents over there that are being shredded or something.
So, yeah, we do have a tenant. We have had a tenant for years and years, and I don't know if it's AA or AAA.
Yeah, Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. And so they reimburse us on the, you know, they pay us a lease, and then they reimburse us on utilities. Their utility bills have been low, and that's why we haven't gotten as much in the reimbursable revenues.
And then the public facilities fees, which facilities is that?
So our public facilities fees are coordinated with the county, and they're specifically for fire. And so I can't remember what the formula is, but there's a formula that's established. I did a public facilities fee report maybe a year and a half ago in order to see whether or not that fee was appropriate, whether the nexus existed. And it certainly seemed appropriate based on the analysis that the board took. The county, because we have to coordinate with the county, is doing their own public facilities fee update that includes Oceano, so we'll see what the outcomes are of that in the near future. But the basic idea is it provides some funding for fire engine replacement or new fire engines, and we have around $200,000 in the bank right now from prior collection of public facilities fees. Some of that is going to be utilized for our local share of the new generator. But that's what it's directly related to the impacts of growth on our fire-related equipment and facilities.
Okay. Let's see, page 73?
Yes.
There's no budget for overtime. I was just wondering why that was. Why didn't we have any budget for overtime?
You know, usually we're not anticipating a budget for overtime, but we want to track it if we've actually incurred it.
But aren't there usually, you know, things that happen in the middle of the night or, you know, some water main breaks or something, and that's going to be overtime? Isn't that... I would think looking over the years you would know that you can typically expect a certain amount of overtime. No?
Yeah, you know, we have standby time that we already have to pay them. But here's the contrast, is in a fire operation where somebody is on sick leave or vacation leave and they have to bring in another firefighter or a captain to cover the shift, those type of operations can have significant overtime associated with them. You know, even though we do incur overtime from, you know, at times and everything, they tend not to have a significant effect on our overall payroll budget. So
it's just a small number, so you don't worry about it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then down on page 78, there's a line that says CYN Crest /Christie/AG Wheeling, $25,000. What is that?
Oh, so Canyon Crest is a development outside of Arroyo Grande. It was originally approved by the county based on a hydrological evaluation of groundwater, that there was sufficient groundwater for them to have a well and to... shortly after the houses were built, those evaluations of sufficient groundwater were proved to be insufficient. So now you've got, I think it's about a dozen homes or so that don't have a water supply. Arroyo Grande's water situation is, you know, a lot tighter than Oceano's. And so Arroyo Grande wheels the water to the development since they're on the border of Arroyo Grande, but it's our water supply. It's called an out-of-district service agreement, which it was approved by LAFCO, Local Agency Formation Commission, because anytime we're going to provide service outside of our boundaries, LAFCO has to approve it. So it was several years ago, but it went through the entire process where we provide Canyon Crest with the supply. Arroyo Grande bills us for the delivery costs, and then we pass that on to Canyon Crest. And essentially both on the revenue, we break even on it. That, you know, any of the costs that Arroyo Grande charges to us, we pass it on to Canyon Crest, plus they pay water rates for the use of our water. was a good example of Oceano helping its neighbors out.
Aren't there other ones also?
There's other wheeling agreements as well, yeah. The mobile home on Halcyon.
Yeah.
But the distinction there is that the mobile home park is within Oceano's boundaries. We just don't have infrastructure to go there. So, again, it goes through Aurora Grande's infrastructure to deliver to our customers. Likewise, there's individuals in Aurora Grande who we service because Aurora Grande doesn't have infrastructure to their own customers. So,
over by the Pike?
Yeah, it's all of those are near the Pike. Canyon Crest is the one that's sort of not near our borders or within our borders and is further away.
And then I was just wondering if there'll be a budget adjustment for the AGP streaming that we just...
I'm not anticipating it because, again,
it's
the...
It's so small.
Yeah, it's within budget.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Any other comment? This is just a review, right? So we just...
Correct.
Okay. With that, then we'll move on to our hearing items, which are necessary.
So I do have one handout, and we'll make it available to the public as well because, sure.
That's right. We'll announce it. You have to announce it.
Well, Paula will, I thought.
Okay.
Let him do this.
Keep one and get the score. The reason for the handout is because we have a little bit of an evolving situation. So as the background...
Wait, are you going to excuse me from this?
Oh, that my preference is it should have been that. One of the issues of consideration is whether we're going to abandon the sewer line and railroad. It's the first time we're going to talk about that and consider that. And my understanding is that President Austin has one of two properties that are actually hooked up to that wastewater line. Neither property has wastewater flowing through it right now, but a property of President Austin as well as Povey are the only two that are currently connected, and I think President Austin was going to step down then because of that.
Okay. Thank
you. Which means that Vice President White is in charge of this item. As a little bit of the background, we have five utility relocations that were mandated based on the county's drainage project. There's a sixth Oceano CSD utility modification that's required, but we were in, I think it's Railroad, before the county accepted that road into the county-maintained system. So we were there first in time, and that utility relocation has to be done at county expense. So we don't need to talk about that. You know, Tony will be out in the field and observing as they're modifying our lines, but again, that's at county expense. So we have five that we have to modify. And just going through them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on this handout. The first one is a modification in Highway 1. The second one, which is somewhat highlighted in a rust color, is Railroad Street Sewer Modification. And that's one in discussions with Tony that we don't have any sewer flows going through it right now. Technically, we could defer that if desired. And then 3, 4, and 5 are basically minor waterline relocations that are on 15th Street, Paso Robles Street, and Railroad Street. And the 15th Street and Paso Robles are really on the same intersection, but one is more on the 15th Street side of the intersection and the other one's on the Paso Robles side of the intersection. So I've highlighted this chart because this is comes from the county bid document. And one of the issues is, do we want the county contractor to proceed with the work, or are we going to proceed with the work under our independent authority? The county received five bids, all of which were shown here, and the CSD, we received no bids on our bid package. Because we received no bids, public contract code allows us to either self-perform or to go through and negotiate a contract with a contractor. And so there's a resolution that's in your board package that we recommend approval so that we can proceed down that path. But I also want to have the approval to authorize to be able to utilize the county contractor. The key here is we have to notify the county by Friday of what we're going to do because it's a 7-day requirement in our reimbursement agreement with the county. They have indicated to us that they're having to evaluate bid number 2 with Granite Construction because there was only about a $6,000 difference between the two bids. And when it's that close, they have to really dig into the details and make sure that they understand who truly is the low bid. And so what I want to do is I want to run through those two bid items and then compare them to the work that Tony and I have been doing since the bids were received on what would our cost for self-performance be. And that's what's included in sheets 2, 3, and 4 of the handout. So, but we can concentrate on this cover sheet. Part of the reason for having 2, 3, and 4 in the handout is mostly to be able to enter them into the public record to support decisions associated with self-performance if we choose to do that, especially if Granite Construction is deemed to be the low bidder at the end of the day. The low bid from the county is determined based on the county's project and not based on our additive bid items. So they've got a multi-million dollar project, and of course what the county says is they're going to issue it to the lowest bid on their work, even if it's a higher bid for our work. And under the public contracts code, they have to be very clear as to their basis of award. And so not surprisingly, that's what they've done. Now, in our agreement with the county, we have no right to challenge the bids. That's why we needed to do our own bidding process. And why might we challenge the bids? Well, there's always this issue that it's called an unbalanced bid. And so let's say that a contractor lowers their base bid and pushes more of the cost to the additive bid items. That's called an unbalanced bid, and they lower the base bid because that's the basis for getting the award. And if they believe that the public agency is going to have to include the additive bid items, then that's, you know, money that they're going to get on the additive bid. It's a way of submitting an unbalanced bid to get the job. Now, I'm not going to assert that that's in this situation, you know, far from it. The key is, in our agreement with the county, we have no right to challenge an unbalanced bid. The only thing is the county said, the county makes the determination of who the low bid is, and we can either say, yes, we're going to use your contractor, or no, we're going to use our own contractor, or we're going to figure out how to do the work ourselves.
Could that explain why there's such a big difference in these amounts?
Yes.
I would expect them to be more similar.
Yes. Yeah. And when I look at this, I go, are there unbalanced bids or not? But again, because we don't have any right to challenge it, I just wonder. You know, I can't do anything else about that. So the two that are in, so the county has informed us, pursuant to our agreement, that Remedia is the low bid, and we got that information on Friday, and so we have to respond by Friday regarding Remedia. If they subsequently come back and tell us that they've reevaluated and Granite is the low bid, then we'll have another 7 days to respond. But when I look at these two bids and working with Tony, and also I want to make sure your board is free to make sure to ask Tony any questions that you might want. Bid 1 and bid 2 seem to be the two that are really into play. And what I notice is on item number 1 and item number 2, they're relatively close. They have the water line modification in Highway 1. Remedia has it at $62,000. Granite has it at $67,000. You see some of the others that have it extremely low, like Specialty Construction is down at $16,000. And Spee's Construction is at $15,000. But our Burke is back up at 54. And our outreach to contractors, which we're allowed to do because we didn't get any bids in them, we've had one contractor who says doesn't want to do the work in Highway 1. Another one's still open. But the other one that we got was $75,000. What that tells us is that, at least preliminarily, it doesn't look like there's a lot of likelihood of us separately contracting out on the Highway 1 work and getting a better price than what we're already seeing from Romina or from Granite Construction. We're not going to close that door yet, but based on the nature of the work, Caltrans has additional conditions, we have additional traffic control, and the other thing that they require us to do is we have to put in a metal pipe and then put the water line inside that metal pipe, and it's called a sleeve. And the reason why Caltrans wants us to do that is that if that line breaks, then the theory is you can pull it out and put in a new line without having to dig up Highway 1. So they have additional conditions associated with construction that we don't see, you know, in the county road system.
What about that fancy machine that put the line underneath the lagoon?
That fancy machine is especially good in certain situations, and we do see more underground boring even in smaller situations. Price Canyon near Pismo Beach, there are some homes that were being developed, and they were doing more directional drilling in that situation too. It just doesn't get us around the Caltrans requirement to put the sleeve in and everything. So on item number one, we're really not that optimistic that we can separately get a contract for less, as well as item number two. But item number two, we don't have to do right now. It could be deferred. But even then, we're talking, what, I think, Tony, 9-foot trenches? So we have shoring associated with that, and that's going to be a items one or two are the two types of projects that we really wouldn't be doing with our crews. So we would be looking at contractors in both situations. So I highlighted 3, 4, and 5 in a red box because those are the types of projects that our crews are very much capable of doing, and in fact, the type of project that if a line breaks, they do it. On the Romina project, they have $12,000 in there for each of those. And essentially, we think those are good prices. The lump sum amounts from Granite Construction of $44,000, $42,000, and $41,000 are not good prices. We would be able to do it significantly under those prices. And that's why we have the attachments. Because if the county ends up telling us that Granite Construction got the award, then what I would attempt to do with Granite is to exclude items 3, 4, and 5 and to do the work ourselves. Yeah. Now, what the county informs us is through the additive bid process, they're all five are lumped together. And so the county cannot dictate that Romina or Granite take any of those items out. But because we got no bids on our project, we're free to negotiate with Romina and Granite and basically say, look, we'll accept your item number one, this would be to Granite, and maybe even item number two, but we're not going to accept 3, 4, and 5. And if your position is it's all or nothing, then we'll find another contractor to do the other work. With respect to Romina, if they continue to be the low bid, it's a matter of sitting down with Romina and making sure that they can perform in a timely manner, because we can't have the water line off for, you know, more than basically working hours. You know, they have to get in there and get out and be done. And making sure that we're really comfortable that we're not going to get hit with change orders on it. So then on item number two, the Railroad Street sewer modification, so that's higher than what we had anticipated. Overall, our engineer's estimate a couple years ago was $110,000, with inflation to current day, that went up to about $115,000, and we're seeing the bid at $153,000. When Tony and I looked at it, and we're talking to other contractors, we don't really see that there's a lot of opportunity to save even on number one and number two. So we're inclined to go with Romina on all of the work, but again, we need to have discussions with them. The bottom line is we want to have the option to be able to go with the county contractor, or if we have unfavorable discussions, we want to be able to self-perform on 3, 4, and 5, and then line up a local contractor on number one. But one of the reasons why we're seeing some of the higher cost estimates, especially on number one, is associated with paving. So if Romina does the work, then they're going to coordinate the timing with their drainage project, and their overall paving requirements are going to cover both the drainage project and our work. If we do our work ahead of schedule, and let's say they're not going to get to some of this until March, as Director Ruplogo, I think, or maybe Director Gibson, I can't remember which of you had given the time estimate on the county's project, but the idea is they want to start construction around June, but they might not be done until March. Well, we're required to get our job done basically before their county contractor actually starts if we don't use the county contractor. So if we have to go in there and then we have to repave and then the county contractor cuts through our paving and then it has to repave again, then there's going to be double work. We're going to be paying for that. You know, again, there's the advantage of, especially in the Romina situation. That's the summary of really where we're standing on bids. We have tight timelines. So under recommendation number two, which is to approve that the work is performed among the following options, utilizing the county contractors, or B, adopting resolution, the attached resolution, is really what we're seeking the approval from your board right now, is to be able to do either 2A or 2B. And it looks like Mr. Minery is tweak something there?
Yeah, because based on your discussion now, I want to make sure this is clear to your discussion.
Okay. And again, it's been sort of a quickly evolving situation, and the county has informed me that they're still looking at the granite, so we might get a change in their determination, and we have to be pretty fluid. And Mr. Minerty right now is looking at page 91 in the language in the resolution under the now therefores. Oh, because we under one we have that we're rejecting it. And so you're looking, Jeff, at providing the authority to reject?
Yeah. So
Jeff's looking at how the resolution might be modified, but before we get into that, any questions on the bids and the numbers that we're looking at and any of the, okay.
Thank you for the thorough explanation.
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Minner?
Vice President White, directors of the board, I'm looking at the way this resolution was drafted, and based on Mr. Ogren's request for discretion to have the ability to move in this, I'm going to suggest revised wordings to the actual resolution and direction of the board. For example, because it's written as a pretty... The way it currently is drafted before you, it has an absolutes in it. Absolutely, you'd reject the bids. You're going to have to go out, do the work, or negotiate. And so I'm essentially adding the words at his discretion within the wording of this. So my suggestion would be on number one, pursuant to reimbursement agreement section E4, the district hereby authorizes the district general manager, comma, at his discretion, comma, to provide the county with timely written notice, and then carry on. Okay? That make sense? Number two, pursuant to Section 22038C of the Public Contracts Code, the district shall perform its infrastructure relocation work with agency employees or negotiated contract or by a negotiated contract at the discretion of the general manager. Number three, pursuant to Section 22034C, the district manager, comma, at his discretion, is granted authority to award the negotiated contract for the completion of the infrastructure relocation.
Yeah.
And then the last one would remain, the district general manager is authorized to proceed with other coordination and work necessary to perform the relocation work. That number four would remain the same.
And again, the changes are necessary because after the resolution was drafted, we started to do our exploration of what alternative contractors might be pricing, and we learned the new information that we just presented. The last point I want to make is that this resolution itself, under the Public Contracts Code and these various provisions, your board had the option, I did not recommend it, to give me the unilateral authority to do this on all projects where we're using alternative bid proceedings. And that's and when the board, when we brought the resolutions ordinance forward to participate in these alternative bidding processes, basically it's Public Contract Code 22,000. And so I held back of asking the board to provide me with that kind of authority on all of these projects and instead said we'll address it on a project-by-project basis. So this isn't something that's unusual, and some agencies just simply provide the general manager with this kind of approval on all projects. But, you know, considering Oceano and our size, I thought it was more appropriate just to address them on a project-by-project basis.
Thank you for that.
Any other questions? Do we need to call for public comment?
Since we changed the resolution.
Does anybody like to come forward and comment on this? No?
So if it met the board's pleasure, the recommendation to would be to approve the resolution as modified and described by legal counsel.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Polo?
Yes.
Vice President?
Yes. And do we note that President Austin is...
we'll note that had excused herself from this item. Yeah, Tony, if you could get President Austin. And then what I'll do is as this issue proceeds, I will send, you know, informational items to your board just to keep you up to date on how this is progressing.
I'm surprised the county gives us that much latitude.
In what way?
Well, to be able to separate the projects and...
Oh, on the five projects?
Yeah, right.
So the county... So that's got to be our discussions directly with Romina, is that Romina needs to be agreeable to...
Right.
Well, actually, we want Romina to do all the work. If it's granite, then they have to be agreeable to allow us. Otherwise, we'll say they don't get to do any of the work.
Yep.
So
and all the decisions should be made by Friday? We'll find out who the bidder is on Friday.
Yes, and I'm pretty certain that if we're in discussions with Romina, then the county will, you know, allow us to take a couple extra days as well if necessary. The point being is that the county can't afford us to sort of kick the can down the road very far. We got to make quick decisions.
It's new. You get it. It's a new addition you get. That's the information on the bids.
Okay, so now that takes us to our...
11.
Any written communications? Written communications?
No additional.
Okay. late written reading.
Nope.
And does anyone want to review future agenda items?
I would like to, because during the discussion of the permits for fireworks, there was a couple of things that were said. You know, obviously the board said proceed with the application process. But the other discussion was when it's not July 4th, right? So I understand that some of the agencies allow safe and sane for July 4th and only July 4th. The two big dates that I'm understanding in Oceano is that it's July 4th and New Year's. But my other understanding is that the use of safe and sane is really allowable any day throughout the year in Oceano. And so separate from the issue of the applications and safe and sane, the question is, does your board want to consider an agenda item that could restrict the use of fireworks, mid-year, because that comment had come up, and it really was separate from the application process and the safe and sane item. So it's just one of the things that I heard. I know that Arroyo Grande was discussing it last night and decided to go with July 4th only. But again, it's tangentially related to that other discussion, but not directly, and so I thought it would be appropriate to follow up on that discussion at this point in time.
Okay, does anyone have anything to say?
Well, I don't think you see them for sale, so except during the 4th, everybody else is doing the illegal ones.
I don't think we're going to discuss it right now. It's just, do we want to discuss it at a future meeting?
No.
I would like to discuss it.
I really would prefer not bringing it up.
I would like to discuss it, the illegal special.
I don't know. We have no jurisdiction over illegals other than that we call the sheriff, right? I mean, we don't. We can't.
Yeah.
It would be
it's
easier.
Against the law already.
It would be easier for the sheriff to enforce it if there were no fireworks allowed except on certain days.
So, again, I heard that as a part of the discussion on the earlier items, but I would look for a motion by the board if a majority of you wants to talk about it as a future agenda item.
Okay, does anyone want to make a motion then?
I would move that we add a future agenda item to discuss restricting fireworks to particular days of the year, day or days of the year.
Second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Director Pogum?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
No.
Vice President White?
No.
President Mustin?
No. Okay, is there anything else on the future agenda items?
I just had a couple of announcements, if no one has any agenda items.
No.
Since Quintessa Coffee opened up, I'm changing my office hour from here to over there. It's a little more friendly environment. So it's going to be second Tuesdays at 10 a.m. So the first one is tomorrow morning. If anybody from the community wants to stop by and have coffee and chat, I'll be there. And on this coming Friday at about noon, there will be a community meeting at Efren's. The acting executive director of the Coastal Commission, Jack Ainsworth, is visiting us and taking a little tour and then wants to hear from the community over lunch. So you're all welcome to join us then.
I couldn't hear. What was the discussion about?
The executive director of the Coastal Commission
will
be joining us for lunch at Efren's for a community discussion.
Next Friday?
This coming Friday.
Oh, this coming Friday in 2 days.
So it's day after tomorrow.
Okay, day after tomorrow. Okay, any other good for the order? Can I get a motion?
Yes. We need to step up the hospitality here.
I know the traits of a new general manager. Feeling a little defensive.
Get an espresso machine.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Do we need to call a roll call for adjournment? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Adjourned.
Hey, we did it.